98.7 FM. Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Murata.
It's going to be lit, is what I hear every single day. It's the greatest radio show ever.
Dan Bickley. Fitz Murata.
It's the greatest show on earth.
Bickley and Murata.
Good morning and welcome.
I love this show.
Me too.
It's the greatest radio show that's ever existed.
It really, really is.
In case you needed a refresher for the new version of the prolonged open.
Let's cut the crap, Mr. Murata.
Bickley and Murata.
I hate everything about this show. This is the worst show in the world.
Happy Wednesday to everybody out there. Luke Lipinski, Jarrett Carlin. It's weird jumping in right after Bickley says this is the worst show in the world. Because every time I want to say, like, yes, it is. No, yeah, wait,
really
yes, it will be.
That,
wait, yeah, no, sure. Well, I was trying to prop you up there, Jarrett. But now it's just trying to say there's no way it could be the worst possible show in the world with Jarrett Carlin here for 4 hours. But he's here, and you can make your own call.
I'm always here for 4 hours, to be honest.
That's true, but you're not always talking for 4 hours into the microphone.
Not into the microphone, no.
How did you enjoy the Team USA basketball game last night?
Well, I dialed up the Peacock, and I didn't watch it.
I
saw highlights.
I don't know if this is just the way my brain works or what, but I like to have things kind of organized at the start, and then you can have chaos from that. But
that is how we show prep.
It's true. It's true. I love the Olympics, but I feel like every time I try to watch something, something else is on. And last night I was trying to watch basketball and every other event seemed to be on. And then, yeah, once you sign up for four apps and the fourth app takes a good 20 minutes to sign up for, then you can kind of watch it.
And you get confused and you're accidentally watching a rerun of The Office instead of.
Yes. It's like, this doesn't
damn
feel
you,
like.
You Peacock!
Damian Lillard's nowhere to be found.
It's too bad, too, because I mean, it was a blowout. They won very easily.
Yeah.
So
good.
The best part of watching it was to see Devin Booker start and get more playing time.
Yeah.
But the last game was on at 4 a.m., I think. So this one was on like at a very reasonable hour for us to watch
9:40
in America here.
So we're getting closer to being able to watch some of these games live. They're replaying it at 1. That was the problem. It was like, okay, well, they'll just replay it. You know, whenever. No, they're going to replay it at 1 p.m. today. I'm pretty sure we all know what the result is. That still hasn't happened. We're still three hours
away.
We could
have really slow internet.
I guess. Yeah. All right. Let's. We're already kind of talking about it, so let's get into the splash.
Splash. The stories making waves in the sports world. The Splash.
Cannonball coming.
The Splash, brought to you by Presidential Pools, Arizona's number one pool builder. See why at presidentialpools.com.
All right, day two of Cardinals training camp. The first real practice will be on Friday. I believe, Jarrett, you and I will be out there on Monday. I don't think we're practicing, though.
Well, I don't know. They see my lateral movement and my intangibles.
I don't know if
they might sign me up.
Well, I wouldn't hold your breath for it, but I guess you're right. It's impossible. That's how it works, right? It's a possibility. If you're just around training camp, you might get signed. Is that typically?
You never know.
Goes?
That's what happens in movies.
Yeah, that's a good point. So yeah, Cardinals camp is going. We we saw Chandler Jones out there yesterday.
Friday is the first. The practice accessible to the public.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's the first practice.
Oh, yeah, okay. I meant first one accessible to the public. Yes. We'll play some of the audio from Chase Edmonds. I thought Chase Edmonds, he's always been this way, but he sounds very, I think he's going to be a leader on this team, not already.
We'll talk about this later, but there has been other times in his career where he has flashed and really looked like a real weapon and star.
Yeah.
But it's almost like anytime he really had a chance to grab the reins.
Yes.
He either got hurt or did not quite perform. This is going into this one of the seasons. This is maybe his best opportunity as a pro.
I haven't looked. I know this isn't like the be all end all, but I haven't looked to see like where he's typically going in fantasy football drafts. But that tells you what the national expectation is of a player when it's like, oh yeah, Chase Edmonds starting running back in Arizona. I mean, I think here locally, we think he's going to be 1A and 1B with James Conner. And as we've seen from Cliff Kingsbury, he doesn't care about your fantasy team, nor should he. But I do wonder what the national perception is on Chase Edmonds. So we'll certainly get into that. I heard from Christian Kirk as well. Mentioned Team USA. They handled Iran 120-66. Devin Booker started. Only played 19 minutes, but that's because everybody's basically playing between, 15 and 23 minutes? That was everybody except Kelton Johnson, Jarrett's favorite player. Mm-hmm. Everybody that played last night played in that range. And Booker, though, 16 points, second on the team behind only Damian Lillard. Kevin Durant, just 10 points. It feels so weird. Like, I just assume Kevin Durant's going to go off for 38 every time
he
plays.
It's just weird in general that he's even playing on this team. They spent the whole year trying to stay healthy on a team that couldn't stay healthy.
Yeah.
And lost the chance at a title because of that. I'm just surprised he's even playing there at all.
Well, how strange was it that when Brooklyn went out, because everybody was hurt, Durant was like the only guy left?
I know. And last man standing.
How crazy is it, I mean, depending who you believe on this, that if his foot had been, 2 inches further back on that two-pointer against Milwaukee in Game 7, Brooklyn would have won the game because it would have been a three. That's indisputable. But a lot of people feel like Budenholzer would have been fired. And instead, now he's like set for life because he just won a title in Milwaukee.
I've been told it's pronounced Budenholzer.
Oh, okay. That's good. Do you go up to Holbrook a lot to get your pronunciation?
We had somebody from Milwaukee on.
Okay.
Who interviewed somebody from Holbrook. His neighbor, I believe it was.
Okay.
And they said it was Budenholzer.
It's really Budenholzer.
I think that's what they say.
Yeah, I'm not calling him that.
They don't call him Coach Bood.
True. All right,
hey,
you call him Budenholzer. We'll all call him by his name.
Buttonholder, I believe it's pronounced.
I don't think that's it.
No?
I think they were probably talking about somebody else, like somebody who sews.
At a fabric store.
Yeah. Back to the NFL.
Person did work at Michael's, now that I think about it.
There's not a Michael's in Holbrook, is there? Isn't Holbrook like
Holbrook
a few
is exploding
stores?
You would be surprised.
I've driven through there a few times. Jimmy Garoppolo has been named the starter by the 49ers. I guess they saw all they needed to see in the first hour of training camp, and they're like, nope, that's it. Jimmy's our guy.
That's a weird situation that you hope.
Made it weird.
I know, and I'm hoping that it's actually as weird on the inside as it appears from the outside as a fellow division rival of that team.
Yeah. When do you think Trey Lance starts? Do you think it's this year?
I don't think so. I think if they start with Garoppolo, it seems unlikely that the season would go south so much so that they could realistically make the change,
Yeah,
unless
agree with you.
Jimmy G gets hurt, which he definitely could, obviously, because he's often hurt.
Yeah, but injury aside.
Injury aside, this feels like them saying that he's our starter this year.
So now that would be two quarterbacks that we know of that are basically, this is it, try to win a Super Bowl and then you're out of here with Aaron Rodgers and Jimmy Garoppolo.
That's exciting. And then they're just going to switch teams.
Ugh, we do not need that.
No, we do not.
It is, though, you're right. I mean, it's a tough spot for the 49ers. And again, they put themselves here. But what if they start the season like what if they go into that bye week, first five games, and they're like 2-3? Are you really going to go to a rookie at that point? But they obviously have Super Bowl aspirations. Or even like after the Cardinals game in week 9, that'd be San Francisco's 8th game, what if they're like 4-4? Are they going to switch mid-season to a rookie quarterback? Or are you just riding them with Jimmy?
Well, they'll probably switch before the Cardinals game because they know how Cardinals play against second and third string quarterbacks.
Well, they play the Cardinals in week 5 too, so maybe those are the Trey Lance
games.
Those
are the, exactly.
Week 5 and week 9. Those are his auditions. The Diamondbacks, you heard it in the update there with Mitch. They lose to the Texas Rangers by a final of 5-4 in Texas last night. Couldn't quite solve Dane Dunning. Did jump out to a 2-0 lead.
The guy, that pitcher,
yeah.
His last name is actually named after the sound from the Law and Order show.
Wow.
Dunning.
Don't waste all your best material this early in the show, Jarrett, because I want people to keep listening. Texas got to Taylor Widener for 5 in the 4th, and the Rangers win that one. So the D-backs now 31-71 this season. They have another game against Texas tonight. Then they get a day off before 7 straight. Oh, I'm sorry, let's just extend this. 16 straight, actually, against the Dodgers, Giants, and Padres. So that'll be a fun stretch from July 30th through August 15th.
And that'll be post-trade deadline. So who knows what this team will even look like during that really tough stretch.
Yeah, well, that was going to be my final point here in the splash. Trade deadline is on, today's, I really can't remember what day it is. Today, so the trade deadline's Friday. It's on July 30th. You can figure out what day of the week that is. But, so the D-backs have this game tonight, and then the game against the Dodgers on Friday, the deadline will be before that. So this is their last game before the deadline. I have to think Eduardo Escobar's gone. I saw something that Merrill Kelly is a pretty pretty sought-after player just because he's a pitcher that's always available. He's been decent. You can count on him to eat up innings. He doesn't have a crazy contract. I mean, if you're the Diamondbacks, nobody's untouchable, right?
Oh, no. I would
maybe Gallen.
Zach Gallen, yeah.
I mean, is Ketel Marte even untouchable?
I don't think so.
I wouldn't rush out to deal him. I'd need a crazy package coming back.
I wouldn't even say a crazy package, but I'd say that you would want to get something very good, but not untouchable.
All right. So that's trade deadline. We will, of course, keep you posted if anything happens there as we head towards Friday. When we come back, though, we'll get back into the Cardinals. Training camp is going. Aaron Rodgers is on one of the TVs in here looking, I wouldn't say happy to be in Green Bay, but, no. But he is there. But, the Cardinals getting going yesterday and, of course, ramping it up even more today. We'll hear from Cliff Kingsbury when we come back. It is a potential, would you call this a rumor, Jarrett? A rumor, a retroactive rumor of a trade that the Cardinals apparently had in their hands that would have been one for one with two pretty big names.
Right, well, ooh, what a tease.
Yeah, we'll discuss that next. It's the Bickley and Marotta Show on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station.
Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Marotta.
Well, this certainly would have been a big trade had it happened. And I would assume now, I mean, the Cardinals already passed on it. If this is true, they already passed on it, I would assume.
What the hell are you talking about, Luke?
Well, Jared, it's funny you should ask. So this came out about, 20 minutes before we went on the air. Pat McAfee, who tends to have a lot of these sort of stories. The Pat McAfee Show tweeted this out. It's a clip of an interview with him and former Cardinal, actually, Gerard Powers. And Powers says that, this is what the tweet says. Allegedly, the Dolphins reached out and offered Xavien Howard in a trade for Cardinals Chandler Jones, but the Cardinals said no. So, how do you feel about that one? Because that solves a lot of your cornerback issues. Now, obviously, you don't have Chandler Jones. It sounds like this was offered before.
Are you going to play the audio?
I'm going to, but I'm trying to set it up because the audio doesn't say who's involved in the trade. It sounds like this happened before the Cardinals knew that Chandler Jones wanted a request. But here's Gerard Powers.
No, that's real. I got a source that. That's real. Now, I don't know if it was like the paperwork of the trade or however it worked, but I do know Miami reached out about trying to do a player-for-player deal with Chandler Jones. And then you look at Chandler Jones, who was he drafted by? A New England guy, right? Flores was there. So you just think that, you know, it'd fit with Chandler Jones going to Miami. But that did happen early in the year. And I think with the Chandler Jones requesting a trade and everything, it kind of blindsided Arizona a little bit just because they weren't expecting anything like this to happen. But Arizona was in a good spot. You know, you had Hassan, who I think signed with Carolina, who was, their number one draft pick a few years ago. You could have signed him to a minimum deal, not a minimum deal, but signed him for lesser money and got Xavien Howard, shipped Chandler to Miami, and everybody still would have been happy. You still got J.J. Watt. You still got another pass rusher and all that. So I thought it was just a good fit and a good scenario for both sides. But that was early in the year when they tried to do that. And my source that I have now are saying that Miami's just looking for a future one for Xavien right now. So I don't even know if they even want Chandler anymore, but they're looking for a future one for him.
That's a lot. Not that they're asking for a future one for Xavien Howard, but that's a lot in that soundbite. Because the way he presents it, again, that's Gerard Powers, former Cardinal. The way he presents it is that offer was made way back when the Cardinals still had Hassan Reddick. Now, I understand the Cardinals' logic of, okay, we're not going to pay a ton for Hassan Reddick because five of his sacks came in one game against the Giants team that had quit. But at least the way he presents it, you could either have J.J. Watt, Hassan Reddick, and Xavier Howard, or you could have what you have now is J.J. Watt and Chandler Jones, who kind of wants to be traded.
But we don't, I mean...
We don't know how, you know, we don't know how true that is, but I don't know why he would just make it up.
No, but it's also one source that he's talking to. I don't think it's like he checked this out throughout the entire...
No, I'm not reporting it. I'm just playing the audio that you yelled at me to play.
If it happened that early in the offseason, I'm not sure that the Cardinals knew that all this was coming with Chandler Jones.
I don't think they did.
If it was prior to his trade request, if it was prior to him not showing up to the mini camps, then they probably weren't that rushing to make a move with him.
No. I'm not even saying that I would want Xavier Howard over Chandler Jones, although when he plays the position you need the most, obviously. And
yeah, but he plays the position you need the most until you trade away Chandler Jones.
Yeah.
And then you're really putting a lot on J.J. Watt.
Well, but you have other... I mean, you did just draft Zaven Collins, and you have Marcus Golden. Look, you're not going to find a bigger supporter of Chandler Jones here than me, but I just think that...
I take that. I accept that challenge.
All right. It can only be you. Because there's only two people here right now. I mean, Howard is, what, 28? Just turned 28? I mean, if that matters to you, he's a couple years younger. He plays the position... What I'm saying is you don't... In a vacuum, you don't need somebody who plays what Chandler Jones plays as much as you need somebody who is a corner. But I get why the Cardinals wouldn't make that trade, because you've committed to a plan that is Chandler Jones and J.J. Watt terrorizing opposing quarterbacks. And look, Chandler Jones showed up yesterday. He's here to play. But it's an interesting thought that was tossed out there. Now, whether it's true or not, like you said, Jarrett, I don't think he's like looking for multiple sources and double confirmation before he runs with the story. He doesn't have to.
But
also don't think he would lie.
No, he was confident enough in the story that he tweeted it, and then when asked about it on a radio show, he confirmed it.
Yeah.
And backed it up. It is interesting. I mean, we don't know any more of the details. It was like immediately like hang the phone up as soon as you're offered, what are you, crazy? We're not trading Chandler Jones. Or if they had to consider it at all. And if they didn't consider it at all, what does that mean for the future of Chandler Jones?
Well, yeah.
Does that mean that there maybe is a future in Arizona?
If they didn't consider it at all, then you would think that they do still potentially have plans for Chandler Jones.
But if the timeline is how he implies it, does that also mean that they still had Patrick Peterson at that time?
Well, but I think they knew they weren't going to keep Peterson.
But you think they didn't know that they weren't going to keep Hassan Reddick?
No, I agree with that. I think they probably... I think they had a plan in mind of we're not keeping Reddick, but it's okay because we have Chandler Jones and we'll go get J.J. Watt and all this stuff. But knowing what you know now, if Miami called and they were like, hey, we heard about that Chandler Jones trade request. We'll give you Xavier Howard for Chandler Jones.
Right now, this minute?
Would you do it right now? It's tough because we don't know what the Cardinals' big picture plans are for Chandler Jones.
I mean, Chandler Jones, if he's healthy, is better at his position than Howard is at his.
But Howard is good. He's led the NFL in receptions two of the last
three
interceptions. He's not as good
at the
NHL.
Top 10 in points,
but he's led the league in interceptions two of the last 3 years.
Boy, it's interesting. It's also a move that never ever happens in the NFL.
No, you never really see
there
like,
never is yeah. like star player for star player. I mean, so it's a nice thought, but I don't know that it ever was going to be a real possibility. We'll see, though. I mean, Xavier Howard wrote a whole thing about how he absolutely doesn't want to play for the Dolphins. He really wants to be traded. He'll be a professional, and he'll show up.
Well, that's basically like 95% of NFL players this year, right?
Nobody wants to be on the team they're on.
And these are good teams. Like, Miami's a good team.
I know. Miami's a good team. The Packers are a good team. Seattle's a good team.
The Cardinals are a good team. Houston's not.
No, not so much.
Not as much at all.
He's the one. He's probably happy to be anywhere now, though.
Yeah, well,
Deshaun Watson.
He probably should.
No, that's a very interesting wrinkle. It's sort of weird how the details of this whole Chandler Jones things are trickling out, and all of it seems to be after the fact. Because Chandler Jones showed up to practice yesterday, for, I mean, very professional. He went through the drills. Nothing, doesn't seem to be any kind of issue at all. We played the audio. We'll play some more later. Maybe Kingsbury said, like, we had great conversations with him. Everything was good. You know, it's all business. They're dealing with it. So if we didn't have all this stuff coming out retroactively about, oh, he requested a trade. Oh, you know, the Cardinals were offered a trade. Like, for them to even offer the trade for him, because...
That's probably just because he's going into the last year of his deal, though.
Right. I guess that's true.
But it is, you're right. It's weird to go backwards and be like, well, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, to the general public, in the last couple months, Chandler Jones requested a trade at some point. And at some point before that, Miami requested you trade Chandler Jones to them for one of their better players, an Xavier Howard. It's just weird to hear all this now retroactively. And it does sort of give a sense that at least a few months ago, the Cardinals valued Chandler Jones very highly. And it also really kind of throws water on that whole concept of like, well, he played five games last year and he wasn't amazing, so he doesn't have any value anymore. You know what I mean?
Now they want a first-round pick, apparently, is how Powers ended that quote.
Yeah.
And he's still on the trade market.
It's amazing.
It's not ungettable if you're the Cardinals still. Oh. Keep Chandler Jones, trade your next year's pick.
Just have an amazing defense for 1 year and then have no future.
That's
basically.
Right.
All right. That's an interesting way to go about it. Football season's here, obviously, and we're getting you ready with the Valley Virtual Series Training Camp Edition. So text CAMP to 620-620 to receive a link to this exclusive event where you will hear from your favorite Arizona sports host. You'll have the chance to win prizes like tickets, autographed memorabilia. So just text CAMP to 620-620. Arizona Sports Valley Virtual Series presented by 72 Sold. Get your price. When we come back, Team USA rebounded after a rough opener in the Olympics, and Devin Booker was a huge part of it. Late last night. That's next. It's the Bickley and Murata Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. We got a lot going on during these breaks. Two of the Coyotes' bigger players just signed with other teams. Alex Goligoski, Minnesota. Michael Bunting, sounds like, to Toronto. Aaron Rodgers has been talking for longer than we've done this show so far today. I will say this, Jared. I'm going to give you credit. And I'm sure I'm going to regret this. And I give you credit on the air. Jarrett's also trying to cut up the Aaron Rodgers interview while we do this show. And how long has it been? 20 minutes?
Yeah, he's still talking. It's 19 minutes into it.
We're 19 minutes into the Aaron Rodgers press conference.
This is like a therapy session for him where he's getting to passive-aggressively vent on the Packers and his entire offseason.
Why
hasn't apparently showered in 7 to 12 days.
I'm not sure he looks much better today than he did yesterday. I told you during the, because I can only hear bits and pieces of it, obviously, as we do the show. I told you this is the longest I can remember Aaron Rodgers ever speaking to the media. And you said it's because he gets to talk about himself.
Yeah, I don't think he's come across very likable during this whole thing.
No, and as I said yesterday, at the beginning of it all, I think most people understood why he was upset. Like, it made sense. The Packers screwed up. But, man, that was a while ago. And he, for whatever reasons, is just not going to let this one go. Which, that's one thing if you're not on the team and you're like, hey, we open with them. And, yeah, I'm still mad about it. It's another thing if you're like, yep, I'm here at camp and I hate my team. Let's go. Basketball last night. Team USA, a 120-66 win over Iran. How into the Olympic basketball are you, Jarrett?
You know, it's interesting because usually I'm not that into it.
Okay.
Because I just assume they're going to win the gold.
Yeah.
I know it's been much more competitive in the last few Olympics, and I was actually very intrigued after they lost their first game to France. But going in, not knowing much about the international teams, going into this game, I had heard that they were going to win this one fairly easily. So I didn't go out of my way to make sure. I mean, I saw the highlights and the box score and all that stuff.
But the Suns' run through the playoffs didn't affect you one way or the other? Because I've talked to a couple
people. Make you more interested in watching basketball?
I've actually talked to a couple people today that were both like, yeah, you know, the Suns' run took everything out of me. I'm ready for football, and I'm not really as into it. I'm the other way. I'm more into it than I typically am because I want to see how Booker performs.
For sure. This is his first trip to the Olympics. Another sort of like big stage placed, you know, another place to raise his profile as a player.
And for the record, a much bigger deal than getting voted to the All-Star team, I think. don't you? Like, okay, you're on the 12-man Olympic roster to go win gold for your country. I know a few guys pass
right,
on it.
That's sort of the thing. Like once JaVale McGee is logging minutes
for
the
team, really,
but it's not
general,
like it's the dream team.
He's not logging a ton of minutes, although he did play 12 last night, JaVale McGee. No, it's not the dream team, but I still, I mean, it's only once every 4 years. It's only one team. It's not two teams like the All-Star game. I don't know. A lot of guys pass on the All-Star game, too, at times. I still think it's a bigger deal, but you're right. The JaVale McGee, that little corollary kind of throws things off a little bit. But they win last night. Booker starts, and this goes back to what we were saying after the loss to France over the weekend. Just the way this is sort of set up right now, you look at the roster and you assume Kevin Durant and Damian Lillard are going to be the guys that carry this team. But also so many different players are playing, and they're trying to throw this all together at the last minute with, with some of the other guys, but especially Booker and Holiday and Middleton coming over. There's a chance the U.S. not only wins the gold medal, but that like Devin Booker is one of the two or three main guys that makes it happen. That would be really cool.
I mean, it would be very, like I said, if this is a coming out party on an international stage, forget about a national stage, and he's one of the stars of the team, and he's one of like the guys prominent, you know, on the podium when they're getting their gold medal. That's awesome. That only helps. One of the interesting things that has happened in past Olympics that Dan Bickley always talks about because he's covered many Olympics is the recruitment. I don't know if it happens as much anymore because all these players are friends with each other anyway and they all interact with each other during the NBA season. But the fact that you have all these superstars sort of, for lack of a better word, quarantined together overseas for an extended period of time, and it gets them to sort of talk about like, hey man, wouldn't it be fun if we played together in the NBA?
Yeah.
At one time, and if you're just planting the seeds for superstars to want to come to Phoenix or to want to come play with Booker, that's something.
Yeah. Team USA in the past, I mean, that's really where the Banana Boat group got started,
for sure.
Right? With Carmelo and LeBron and Chris Paul and Dwayne Wade. This is Devin Booker. First of all, just asked what it's like going to the international stage. I mean, last night's game was a week after game six.
I mean, it's honestly an honor, to be able to represent this country and, put on the uniform that many greats have worn before me and represent this country to the highest degree. But like you said, LeBron said, obviously the opportunity that we had a week ago, will never go away. Even if end up getting one later down the line, you look back at the one that you lost and said what it could have been. So, it's something that you got to learn from, you have to build from, and, take in and use as motivation. It's not going to be easy to ever even get the opportunity to be there again, but, it's all part of the journey, all part of the process.
I feel like Devin Booker always says the right thing, doesn't he? Although
he's very professional.
He is.
But even during the playoff run, where you wanted him to like really be excited about something or to really be like mad and pissed off about something, he was the whole time very measured, very professional, very focused. One thing about him, and I think maybe this is one of the ways he's like Kobe Bryant, he's not like him that much to me, despite all the comparisons, but one of the ways he is he's very, very just focused on basketball when he's talking about basketball.
Yeah, and he gets very, very dialed
in when he's playing.
It's funny, the Kobe comparisons were all there, and then they've swung the other way, and people are like, no, he's not like Kobe. There's certain shots that he hits where you're like, that's a Kobe shot. It just is.
Yeah, but see,
it's his demeanor on the court.
I almost feel like, and we saw this sort of in the finals and a bit in the Clippers game, I feel like the less effective for the Suns version of Devin Booker is more like Kobe Bryant. The when he puts up 42 points but has one assist and two rebounds.
Yeah.
Which he had a few games like that. And he's a stone cold a killer and cold blooded scorer. And he's focused and he's dominant and he takes over games and he's aggressive. That's like Kobe Bryant, but I don't necessarily think that that's the best version of Devin Booker.
See, I don't entirely disagree with that. I think sometimes he doesn't have a choice. Like, I don't see him as like a selfish player, but he's also just old school with some of the shots that he takes and consistently makes, you know. And now it's so much like either get right to the hoop like Giannis or only take threes. And Booker's willing to take those. He'll hit a fadeaway that's a tough shot that's only worth 2 points, but he hits it so consistently like Kobe that it's a good shot. I got one more here before we hit the break. Because this is, I feel like this is a question on everybody's mind with Devin Booker. What's it like now playing on the same team as Jrue Holiday and Chris Middleton?
I mean, the memories are there, but, you know, it's nothing personal between me. We lost, and that's it. You know, and I'm man enough to accept that and move on. You know, so there's no hate, you know, towards Jrue or K-Mid. You know, I said it during the series when we had this question. I have a lot of respect for those guys. I mean, you know, when you're competing at the highest level, it doesn't always go your way. But, you know, I'm a forward thinker and move on to the next thing and be able to take my L and move on.
Yeah, to be fair to Devin Booker, he did say that before the series was even over, when people were saying, like, it's going to be awkward for either you or them when you get over there. And I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but this is like a week and a half ago. He's like, that if you understand competition, that's what it is.
I mean, I just give him credit in general. Like, when something horrible happens, like you lose an NBA championship in that way, I would think the last thing you want to do is go play organized team basketball again for 2 weeks.
I don't know. I mean, because, like, he doesn't want to go.
In a way, I guess it takes your mind off of it.
Yeah. Like, I don't think you want to go play the start. I'm always fascinated by how a team responds after a tough loss in the finals at the start of the next regular season. Like, how do you get up for those first 20 games when they don't really mean anything if you're good enough where you're going to be back in the playoffs? But this is to win a gold medal. But obviously the wrinkle is, it's like, Jrue Holiday's been in my face for 2 weeks. Now he's right there next to me again. And you heard Booker say it in that first cut, and we'll get back to this later in the show, but it's really telling where he's like, even if we win one down the line, I'm still going to miss that we missed this one. You know what I mean? That's like, that's brutally honest. Like, they may win the title in 2 years. It's still going to sting that they lost this one. It's just not going to sting as much.
Luckily, he has several weeks to get over it before the start of next season.
That's true. Training camp's in like an hour. All right, when we come back, a lot going on in the NFL. It looks like Aaron Rodgers just stopped talking, or they just finally cut away from the podium.
Okay.
So we'll get into some of that. Hash marks next. Luke Lipinski, Jarrett Carlin in for Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Bickley and Murata.
Bickley and Murata.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Wow. Jared, how much of the Aaron Rodgers interview did you get to hear? Or press conference, I should say.
I got to about maybe the first 10 minutes of it.
Okay. Because it's obviously going on while we're doing this
there's
show.
There's a lot of stuff in it. I have some cuts from it.
Okay.
They're long cuts because he essentially began it by talking for 10 straight minutes without stopping.
Okay. Well, here, I don't have the cut here, but I'm going to read this quote while you find the good cuts. Do you have the one that the Action Network tweeted out that said Green Bay isn't a huge destination? They're coming here to play with me.
No, I don't have that one.
This is going to be a fun season in Green Bay. Like, in case you just had any sort of doubt of like, Rodgers is just going to go out there and try and win a Super Bowl and part. I mean, this is legacy stuff now. This is where you've played your entire career. You've won MVPs. You've won a Super Bowl. I think you should have won more than one Super Bowl. I do think Mike McCarthy held him back. I think the team, and they were hesitant to bring in free agents for the longest time for whatever reason. But either way, man, when you retire Aaron Rodgers, you are going to be associated with Green Bay more than anywhere else, even if you play 5 more years somewhere else. And you just trashed the city you play in. How else am I supposed to interpret, quote, Green Bay isn't a huge destination, they're coming here to play with me, unquote. Bears fans and Vikings fans must be loving this.
Let me, I'll play a couple cuts here. They're all about a minute or so long.
Okay.
But this is just how we started off. The first question was, explain what exactly happened this offseason and why you did what you did.
A lot of things have transpired. This wasn't, a draft day thing. You know, this was started with a conversation in February at the season ended. And I just expressed, you know, my desire to be more involved in conversations directly affecting my job. Also, I wanted to help the organization maybe learn from them some of the mistakes in the past, in my opinion, about the way that some of the outgoing veterans were treated, and just the fact that we didn't retain a number of players that I felt like were core players to our foundation, our locker room, high character guys. I'm talking about Charles Woodson, Jordy Nelson, Julius Peppers, Clay Matthews, Randall Cobb, James Jones, John Kuhn, Brett Goode, TJ Lang, Brian Belaga, Casey Hayward, Micah Hyde, guys who were, you know, exceptional players for us, but great locker room guys, high character guys. Many of them who weren't offered a contract at all, or were extremely lowballed, or were, you know, maybe in my opinion, not given the respect on the way out that guys of their status and stature and high character deserved.
Wow. So he was doing it for the Packers. He was trying to teach them.
the first part of that cut is like, all right, good luck, buddy. Like, even though you might be, in terms of talent, the greatest quarterback of all time, you're certainly going to go down as one of the five or six greatest of all time either way. I'm not sure you're going to teach an entire NFL organization a lesson that's going to stick with them. But the second part of that clip, I mean, he's been taking names for years. You know, this is not, oh, at least the way he presents it there, this is not, they took my replacement when I'm still good. This is like, here's, and some of those names, I mean, Charles Woodson's a big name. I do remember when they let Jordy Nelson go, he was a machine for the Packers, and all of a sudden they were like, hey, we don't want him.
What is it? Randall Cobb's on his way back.
Yeah.
What's he so mad about?
He made that strong push for Randall Cobb. Yeah.
And James Jones is doing a great job with the Suns, so I don't know what he's talking about there either.
But doesn't that sound like this has been building for a decade?
Oh, yeah. All right, so here's the next part. The first thing that was, you know, the offseason begins, he was upset about the way they've handled former players. He wants to sort of teach them how to do what to do in free agency and all that stuff. This is the next part.
Okay.
And then it kind of progressed from there into a commitment for the 2021 season and beyond. That really wasn't given at any time. So for me, I had to assess the situation. Not necessarily wanting to be a lame duck quarterback, especially after an MVP season, which I think you can understand. And then the other part in February was wanting to be a part of conversations involving free agents, which has never happened in my career. You know, I've trained with a number of NFL guys most of my career in the off seasons. My agency, Athletes First, has had a number of high draft picks over the years. I've tried to pass along information. Hasn't really been used, shall we say. So I wanted to offer up my services as a recruiter.
There's an age-old debate there of how much your players should get involved in personnel decisions. But that is your quarterback, and he's one of the best.
This goes again to the part where it's like passively, aggressively criticizing your current roster. It's like they've never listened to any of the guys that I've suggested that I want to play with, and instead we have these guys.
Yeah, I wonder how he felt like walking. You know how sometimes like you have something to say and you've been holding it in, and
I think that's exactly what this was, because this is all the answer just to the first question.
Is it really?
I've told you his first answer was 10 minutes long.
But then when you've said it, you either feel like, oh, it's great, I feel like weight of the world off my shoulders. Yeah. I said it, or you're like, yeah, maybe I crossed the line there.
Or you just rile yourself back up again.
And you come back in and do another one.
The last part of it. Because one of the parts of the story that sort of confused people was when it came out maybe a couple weeks ago that the Packers did offer him a new contract and did offer him to be the highest paid player in the NFL.
I can't imagine he's happy about that.
And he turned it down.
Yeah.
In March, and the conversation changed. As I felt like, if you can't commit to me past 2021, and I'm not a part of recruiting process and for agency, if I'm not a part of the future, then instead of letting me be a lame duck quarterback, if you want to make a change and move forward, then go ahead and do it. That obviously didn't happen. Like I said, it wasn't a draft day thing. There were conversations for a number of months leading up to that. Post the draft, I think what basically happened was then they said, you know, we'll give you some money now. Let's see if we can throw some money at you. I said from the start it wasn't about the money. Obviously, I didn't show up for the off-season program or mini camp. To me, it was bigger than this. It was about trying to be a resource for the organization that I care about and love so much. So when the money came at me, the other part is, the backstory to that is, you know, after the season, there was a part of me that did think that there would be conversation about an extension. You know, based on my cap number this season, next season, it seemed natural based on the way I played to at least have a conversation about it. It wasn't a conversation. Not until into May. And that, to me, seemed like an analogy that you guys understand. You guys have a fantastic year at work. You write some great stories. You go to your boss and say, I just had an incredible year. I think I deserve a pay raise or, you know, some security. And the boss says, yeah, let's just see how it goes. A couple months down the line, you get another job opportunity. You go back to your boss and say, hey, I got this amazing job opportunity. And we say, whoa, no, we love you. We do want you to stick around. We do care about you. Just have the same feeling, you know. And so, you know, I said it wasn't about the money, and the way that felt, you know, kind of just doubled down on that.
I don't totally disagree with everything he's saying, to be honest. Like, I mean, at a certain point, if you're Green Bay, if you're Aaron Rodgers, and you're going to try and win this year, I would say more so if you're Aaron Rodgers, this probably needs to be it. Like, you need to go out there and say your piece. And I think it's healthy that he said it, especially, and it's healthy for Green Bay, too, because he's your quarterback, right? So if he's holding this in all season, that's not great. Like we said yesterday, Aaron Rodgers is one of the best at playing with a chip on his shoulder, but you don't want the chip to be against who you're playing for. So I'm glad he got to go out there and say everything. And I don't disagree with everything he's saying, but it's just, you can't keep talking about it all season, though, now, right?
No, and it's just the weird situation in general, because he just spent 25 minutes saying all the things he doesn't like about the team he's currently playing on.
But I think people can identify with some of the stuff he's saying.
I agree. It's just weird that all this happened and all it led to was him coming back to play again this season. Like, he didn't dig in enough that he really either forced the hand of the trade, threatened retirement, anything like that.
Yeah.
It wound up with him still playing for the Packers this year.
I that first cut you played, though, where he just had names after names of guys that have been kind of, in his mind, run out of town over the last decade, that to me is like, he's probably not the only one that has felt this way there. You know, and I'm not saying Aaron Rodgers is 100% right and the Packers are 100% wrong, anything like that, but it's just like, If he's still talking about Jordy Nelson and Julius Peppers and Charles Woodson and Clay Matthews, you know, and those were good players, too. Those weren't just like, hey, that's Aaron's buddy. Like, no, those are good players. You wonder how many other players have felt that way that just obviously don't hold the sway that Aaron Rodgers does. All right, that was hour number one of the show. Aaron Rodgers could have carried the entire first hour himself. We'll come back when we are going to talk more Cardinals now. We heard from Christian Kirk yesterday. It is his thoughts and just sort of insight on the wide receiver situation for Arizona. That's next. It's the Bickley and Murata Show. Luke Lipinski, Jarrett Carlin in for Bickley and Murata on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.